After 430 years in Egypt, God delivered Israel. And we know we talked about that last week as we studied on History's Hinge, the birth of Christ. But the Egyptians pursued the Israelites. And in Exodus chapter 14, the people got nervous and they said, Moses, have you brought us up to die? And here comes the Egyptians. And you remember, God had a pillar of fire between Egypt in Israel. God protected His people. And then even that wasn't enough. And they still said, Moses, what are you doing? You brought us right here to the Red Sea. You've trapped us. And Moses, like any good leader did, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he raised up his staff and God parted the Red Sea. And every one of those Israelites went across on dry ground. I've heard preachers talk about what that must have been like to walk across the Red Sea and see fish hanging halfway out of the water. Amen. In the Red Sea. I don't know if that was the way it was or what, but I know this. They walked upon dry ground, and if that wasn't enough, when they got over onto the other side and Egypt started marshaling their army to come after them, Brother Cook, you know what happened? God let the waters go and drowned every last one of those Egyptians that were going to after God's people. By the way, God takes care of His people. And we know that that happened. And then Israel had an 11-day journey ahead of them into the land that God had promised them called Canaan. But God sent 12 spies into the land and 10 came back with an evil report. Only Joshua and Caleb says, who cares if there's giants in the land? Our God is bigger than they are. But 10 of them said, no, it couldn't be done. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And every one of those men above 20 died except for Joshua and Caleb. Moses dies and leadership is passed to Joshua. And Joshua here leads the people to the Jordan River. And they're about to cross over into the promised land. And we see a few things as they prepare for the crossing. If you notice in verse number 1 of our text, we see something that is interesting. It says, and Joshua rose early in the morning. The Jordan River, though many speak of it as death, the Jordan River, some people equate the Jordan River with dying and going to heaven, crossing over Jordan. It's really not that in the Scriptures. It's a picture of the surrendered, consecrated Christian life. And I want to tell you, if you're going to have a surrendered, consecrated Christian life, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to rise up early and spend time with God every day. Amen. You're going to have to rise up early and spend time with God. The Bible says in Psalm 63:1, talks about how they that seek me early shall find me. Jesus in Mark chapter 1 verse 35 arose a great while before it was day and prayed. I prayed for each one of you this morning in my private prayer time. A while before the chaos of the day. Why? Because the day gets chaotic. And we need the strength of God to deal with that chaos. See, He rose up early. Something else, if you look at verse number 2, it says, and it came to pass, in those days that the officers, I'm reading the wrong verse here, verse number three, and commanded the people saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove it from your place and go after it. Something else that you're going to have to do, and again, this is just by way of introduction, if you're going to have a consecrated Christian life, you're not only going to have to rise up early, you're going to have to let God lead. That's a hard thing for us, isn't it? You say, not me, Pastor. Okay, well, let me confess. Sometimes it's hard for me to let God lead. Sometimes I want to do what I want to do. Even in the spiritual realm. Even in good things. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, we're a whole lot better off when we let God lead. You know what would have happened to them if they didn't let God lead? They would have drowned in the Jordan River. Every one of them. But they let, hey, let God lead. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Promise us if we let Him lead. Not only letting God lead and rising up early, but according to verses 2 and 3, something else we need to do is obeying God. Hey, may 2012 be a year marked by obedience to this book. Saying, hey, that's what God says, I'm going to do it. And all God's people said, amen. Here we come to verse number 4. Look at it with me. An important verse, a great verse. Verse number 4 of Joshua chapter 3. The end of the verse concludes this way. For ye have not passed this way before. Ye have not passed. How I thank my God for the gift of life. You know, some of you now, you're in your 70s and 80s. God has been good to you to give you that many years. I'm turning 40 in just 2 weeks here, and I think about how good God has been. You know, I was born to a single mother who could have very easily aborted me. You know what I'm thankful for? The gift of life. I'm adopted. God gave me wonderful parents. God gave me a wonderful wife. God gave me wonderful children. I thank God. Some people never get to see the age of 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. May we never take life or its blessings for granted. We've begun 2012. Where does the time go? Boy, it goes, I'll tell you what, when I was, I'm thinking of like Savannah and Angie, when I was your age, it seemed like I'd never get to be 16 and then 18 and then 21, just never have, but right after that, it was like a rocket sled. And somebody said, Brother Earl said to me this morning as we were walking in, I was holding Eric's hand and he was running around behind me and twisting me and I was getting a little frustrated, you know how that goes, and Brother Earl said, oh, you enjoy those kids. They grow up so fast. And I know it's true. I believe you. When I think my wife and I be married 16 years this year, I just cannot believe that. And some of you could, you laugh and say, oh, you're just kids, you know, 50 and 60 years of marriage. But listen, it seems like only yesterday I was playing and enjoying the innocence of youth and with its freedom from responsibility and just enjoying the curiosity of life. I can just say this, the older we get, the less adventurous we get. Wouldn't you say that's true? I'll tell you what, I find this out every time when I was a youth pastor, I used to take the kids to the amusement park. We had a Six Flags out our way. By the way, we only went in October when people wore clothes. Amen to that. And I went on a couple roller coasters, Brother Horse. I'll tell you what, I got off the thing, I went like this. Amen. I said, that's it for me. There goes my spirit of adventure. Boy, when I was 16, boy, it was roller coasters all day long, backwards, spinning, upside down. But the older we get, the less adventurous we are. You know why? First of all, we're a little bit more cautious, aren't we? But I could say this, to go along with that caution, sometimes we're a little bit more cynical of life. And that's not a good thing. It's okay to be cautious. But sometimes we become cynical and critical. And just as the Israelites were about to cross the Jordan, so it is with us as we enter 2012. We begin a new adventure. That's the title of our message today. A new adventure. Why? Think about it. As it was said to the Israelites, so it could be said to us. Look at verse 4. Ye have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way. What does 2012 hold for the Loomis Park Baptist Church? What does 2012 hold for you and your family and your future? I'd like to take a look this morning. I believe that this new year will be number one, of unbridled possibilities. Unbridled possibilities. Verse 4 tells us that we have not passed this way before. 2012 is a year of great possibilities at your work. I think of some of you that had no idea that you were going to have a job at this time last year, and God provided you with a job. God blessed you. And I think of perhaps even this year in our homes, that this would be a year of unbridled possibilities. Some of you this year, and I know some of you are not, but some of you this year, or even right now, you don't know, but you're going to have a baby next year. Amen? Oh, the unbridled possibilities. I think in the relationships that we can have one with another, there's so many possibilities. I think of personal achievements. Some of you, you're going to have great achievements this year. And I think of this. I think of changes. Now, we don't like change very much. I think of that slogan, hope and change. I say, keep the change. That's that slogan. No, but we don't like change. We like it to be just so, hey, you know what? This year is a year of unbridled possibilities when it comes to positive changes in your life and in my life. You may say, well, I could never... ... Can I say that's a defeatist attitude? I could never... Hey, listen. Have you ever seen what man has done apart from God? Man has climbed the highest mountains there are to be climbed. Man has built buildings that you just look at in absolute amazement that man could build such things. Man has crossed the entire ocean by boat. Man has done that, apart from God. Man has explored space. You know, our generation doesn't think much about that, but you go back 40 years, and it was a big deal that Neil Armstrong took one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Stepped out onto the moon. Man did that, apart from God. Man has made incredible strides in medicine and technology and sciences. How many of us have had a surgery and have gone under anesthesia and aren't you thankful for it? Amen. You know, back in the day, no. See, that's what man has done. And man has done all that apart from God. Then you know what? We shouldn't say, well, I can't do that because for with God, nothing is impossible. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And you remember the day that Peter was in the boat with the other disciples and they saw Jesus walking upon the water. And Jesus said, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter said, if it's really you, let me come see you. Jesus said, come. And a man with God's help walked on water. You know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen? 2012 is a year of unbridled possibilities. We may have in this room some water walkers. You say, what do you mean? Like literally? No. That God can do anything. That loved one that you have that's not saved and you think in your heart, I don't think God can save him. God can save him. That stray child that you have that you say in your heart, I don't think they're ever going to serve God. Hey, you don't know that. It's possible with God. It's a year of unbridled possibilities. Can I say, secondly, 2012 is a year of unbelievable privileges. Unbelievable privileges. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we read it in Sunday school. By the way, had a blessed time in Sunday school this morning. Invite you to come next week as we're studying on eternal security next week here in the adult class. But we went over the verse, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. Then chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Hey, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? This year, it's a year of unbelievable privileges. Why? Because we're children of the King. You don't sound like you're children of the King. We're children of the King. Amen. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies, of diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's a year of unbelievable privileges. We're saved. from hell for all eternity. We're saved. That's privilege. That's a privilege. You know what else? We have God's holy, perfect, preserved Word. Miss Barb knows in many of the tribes of the world, they have no copy of God's Word. And listen, we have as many copies as we could buy. We have as many copies as we have privilege. We're part of a local body of believers. That's a privilege. I remember years ago, I went to a conference in North Carolina, and there was a couple that were satellite members of that church. They were the only satellite members of that church. This church in North Carolina that was running, I think 2,600. These people were satellite members. You know where they lived, Brother Lem? They lived in the middle of Alaska where there was no church. And so you used to pick up the services on the internet and watch that. Hey, listen, we get to be part of a local body of believers. You don't realize it, but when I see you, you encourage me. And I hope it's the opposite too. I hope I encourage you. We have unbelievable privileges. We're saved. We have God's Word. We're part of a local church. Hey, listen to this. We get to serve the King of Kings. We get to serve God. You say, how do you serve? Well, there's tons of ways to serve Him, amen. We serve Him by giving. We serve Him by living our lives for Him. We serve Him by taking part in ministries. Oh, we get to serve God. That's an unbelievable privilege. And I think of that verse, I believe it's in Peter, where the Bible says that there are things that angels desire to look into. I think one of them is that redeemed creatures get to serve their Creator. We get to serve God. Hey, you know what else, ladies and gentlemen? We have unbelievable. We have a beautiful facility that God has blessed us with. That's an unbelievable privilege. There are some places today they're meeting where they're getting rained on, where they're getting snowed on. They're still meeting. Amen. Well, I think sometimes in America, I wonder if we would still meet if this didn't work or that didn't work. Hey, listen, we have an unbelievable privilege. We have a beautiful facility. We live in America. Don't ever forget that. There are some places right now that they're meeting that they're afraid that the government's going to come in and take them away. Break their families up. Take the children from the parents because they've confessed the name of. There are other places where pastors are literally preaching under the threat of death. We live in America. You know what that is? An unbelievable privilege. Unbelievable privilege. We can worship freely in America. Something else we're unbelievably privileged. I don't know about you. We have full cupboards at our house. Amen. Now, the sad thing is this week, I'll be cooking at our house. That may not be as much of an unbelievable privilege as it's just unbelievable. Amen. But we thank God. In 2012. Hey, you know what? We have jobs. There's a lot of people. We get calls each week. Do you help with this? Do you help with that? Do you help with this? And we can't help everybody. We try to help some people. We pray about it. Listen, we've got jobs. Hey, this is a year of unbelievable privileges. Unbridled possibilities. Number three, unseen praises. Unseen praises. Let me read you a verse, two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's a year of unseen praises. Earlier this year, earlier last year, amen. I gotta say, I got Brother Horse with that one yesterday. See you next year, amen. There's always one guy who says that, and I was the one. I took a life insurance physical. The church is so kind to provide a life insurance policy for the pastors. And I took a life insurance physical, and I was supposed to get $250,000 worth of coverage. And they asked me to take a blood test, and I had to take a urinalysis and all those things. And came back, and they said, we're rating you at $75,000 worth of coverage, and we're not giving you a nickel more. And I went, excuse me? And I thought, why? And they said, well, there's an incredible amount of protein in your urine. And that's not good. It means you've got some sort of sickness. And I thought, I sure don't feel sick. I'm healthy. Play ball. I try to move. I watch people this morning. I went to Walmart to get my wife a paper, and I watch people that are my age that are just kind of like. And I tell you, I walk like this. You know, that's just the way I wear shoes out right on the corners here. Amen. I thought, well, I'm healthy. This can't be right. I'm active. I'm not sick. Well, what was the reason why an insurance company rated me? Because they know their business. And we found out this year that I have a kidney disorder called stage 1 IgA nephropathy. And it's a disorder in which antibodies called IgA build up in the kidney tissue, and it can lead to end-stage kidney failure, which is dialysis. Say, Pastor, what's the unseen praise there? That physical caused me to find out I had a disease that could kill me. That's a praise. You know how a lot of people find out? They're 65 years old, and they find out that they've had it for 25 years and haven't done anything about it. The unseen praise is, hey, I can take a blood pressure pill. I can lay off the salt. I can push away from the table, amen, in my 30s and 40s. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get you to see is that man's disappointments are ever God's appointments. And you may have an unseen praise that comes along this year, this way, and it may be a negative thing. It may be something that you bristle at. It may be something that you don't like, but it may be something that's just fine too. But what is hindsight? Hindsight allows us to see something that I was mad about, and I was nervous about, and it's a praise. 2012, a year of unbridled possibilities, unbelievable privileges, unseen praises. Hey, may it be a year, ladies and gentlemen, of unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. Can I tell you this as your pastor? If there's a failure I have, it's I don't pray enough. And by the way, I have a laundry list of failures. And all God's people said, it's okay. You can say amen. I'll take that. But you know, prayer. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and them and their authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I like how Timothy said that first of all. Hey, listen. I know when you're on your job, you're supposed to be on your job. Listen, your boss pays you to do a job and to produce for him. Amen. But you know, you could pray on your break. You could pray on your lunch. You could pray. Amen. Brother Mark and I have talked about this because I remember when I used to have a long run. You can pray on your way to work. You can pray. You pray, pray, pray. Pray morning, noon, night. Pray in between. Pray. Hey, may 2012 be a year of unceasing prayer. Why? We got a lot to pray about, folks. Many people, many needs. Oh, that God would work in our midst, that we would grow stronger. So much to pray for. May 2012 be a year of unceasing prayer. Unseen praises, unbelievable privileges, unbridled possibilities. May it be a year of uncommon power. Uncommon power. You know, the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then if you go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then if you read in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it said, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Go over just another chapter in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. The apostle Peter, so filled with the Spirit of God, so empowered by God, that the Bible says that people, the sick people, thought if Peter's shadow would fall upon them, that they would be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, that you and I would take the verse this year, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And by the way, amen to the first part. But be filled with the Spirit. Hey, listen. If we're filled with the Spirit, if we seek to put self down and flesh down and desires down and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will have uncommon power. I appreciate one of our dear saints said to me this year, we had an evangelist come and he preached a message called "We've Seen Strange Things." And he talked about how we're not seeing lives change like we used to. And I appreciated the spirit of his message. I know what he meant. But one of our dear ladies came to me and said, "Pastor, we have seen some lives changed in our church this year. I'm looking out at people that weren't here this time last year. I see Carrie Donahoe out there got saved last year. I see Brooks Carter got saved last year. And others, amen, that were saved, that were baptized. I think of Jared Shannon and Brenda Easterling under a false profession of faith got saved." Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, may 2012 be a year of uncommon power. Do you know you can have power with God? And it's not for showing off. It's for living the life that God wants us to live and desiring it. How do we do it? By the way, we get alone with God and we read the Word of God and we separate from things that God is not pleased with and we strive for holiness and we desire to be filled with the Spirit and we ask Him to fill us and to show us our faults. Uncommon power, unceasing praise, unseen praises, unbelievable privileges, unbridled possibilities. Can we have this in our church in 2012? Can we have some unbendable parents? Can we have some unbendable parents? What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible still says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And the Bible still says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Could we have some parents this year that say, I'm not going to bend when it comes to sin in our home? We're not having it. Hey, listen, we need that. If we can't have that in the church of God, there's no hope for this world. If we can't have parents that say, sin is sin and it's not coming into our house, then there is no hope for Jackson or Michigan or the United States or the world. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need some unbendable parents. We need unbendable parents in regards to ungodly friends. Hey, as long as you're in my house, you're under my rules. And when you pay your own way, you can have your own say. Amen. But as long as you live under my house, you're not going out with that one or that one. I can see some things as your father, as your mother, that I don't like. Hey, listen, we need parents. Hey, it doesn't mean you can't be loving. Amen. I've learned that love is mushy and tough, but it needs to be both. Amen. And there comes a point, parents, where you need to say, hey, sin and questionable activities and ungodly friends and immodest dress and immodest dress and immodest dress Amen. And faithfulness to the house of God. We meet on Sunday morning. We meet on Sunday night. We meet on Wednesday night. Hey, listen, we're going to come. We're going to do what God says. We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're going to be faithful. Hey, what we allow on our TV and what we allow on our children's music and on their computer. Listen, parents, you should have the desire to be your children's friends, but they may have many friends, but only two parents. They need you to be their parents. They need you to be unbendable, inflexible when it comes to this book, the Word of God. Unbendable parents. Number 7. 2012, praise God for this, is a year of unbreakable promises. God will keep His Word. John 10:35 said the Scripture cannot be broken. If God said it, He'll do it. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? Psalms 111:7, the works of Thy hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. W.A. Criswell, in his definition of faith, and we'll talk about it tonight, he said this, faith is the solid, unshakable confidence in God, which is built upon the assurance that He will be faithful to His promises. You know what? You can count on God to keep His word. The truth is, I may fail you this year, and I hope I don't. I pray that I won't. I pray that I wouldn't disappoint you. I pray that I would be the man of God that you need me to be. But you know what? God will never fail. He will keep His word, and all God's people said. Unbreakable promises. Number 8. May 2011 be a year of unbounded production. Unbounded production. It's a loaded question, but it's not. Do you know what God's main purpose for you is? Your main purpose for your life is that you would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians that we should be to the praise of His glory. God desires for you to bring glory to Him. May we produce fruit this year. May it be a year of unbounded production. First of all, how do we do that? How do we bring glory to God? With our lips. Psalms chapter 22 says, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all the seed of Israel. Not only with our lips, but with our light. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16, but also with our life. John 15:8 says, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Hey, let's not be complacent in 2012. Let's be bearing fruit. Let's be faithful. Let's be out for soul winning. Let's be trying to win our friends and coworkers and relatives. And let's have a year of unbounded production. That if God were to call us home and it would be harvest time this year, we'd have so many handfuls on purpose to give to Him. May it be a year of unbounded production. May you produce more fruit for Christ and the glory of God this year than you ever have. Number 9, unbridled possibilities, unbelievable privileges, unseen praises, unceasing prayer, uncommon power, unbendable parents, unbreakable promises, unbounded production. The truth is, 2012 could be a year of unexpected pitfalls. Unexpected pitfalls. Can I tell you this? Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, if you get serious about trying to live for God, you can take it to the bank that Satan will attack you, tempt you, and work on you when you least expect it and when you are at your weakest. And all God's people said. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Satan uses rotten thought patterns in our lives. And he's targeting you. He's targeting you this year. Can I say this? Young husband, Satan is targeting you for adultery this year. Yes, he is. He's targeting you for that. Young wife, Satan is targeting you with unhappiness this year. Maybe you're a young person who lives at home. Satan is targeting you with rebellion this year. He wants you to be rebellious. Hate your parents. Satan is targeting you, ma'am, with bitterness this year. Satan is targeting you, sir, with discontentment. And teenager, he's targeting you with an impurity. And older person, he's targeting you with being unappreciated. Hey, listen, we are not ignorant of his devices. Be a year of unexpected pitfalls. But can I tell you this? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Number 10, it may be a year of uncertain parting for some of us. I'm a pastor, so it's a sin to worry. So I get concerned. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, amen? You don't worry, you get concerned, amen? I'm a little concerned. My wife's going under anesthesia on Tuesday. I've often said as a pastor, when you go under anesthesia, you are in the realm between life and death. In the hands of God alone. Now again, here's what I'm trying to say. When Jacob and Rachel found out they were expecting a baby boy named Benjamin, they're excited about it. They didn't realize that when Rachel gave birth to little Benjamin, she was going to pass away. I mentioned it in Sunday school. In our church this year, we did not lose one active member to death. That's incredible, ladies and gentlemen, when you consider some of the ages in our church. We didn't lose one active member to death. But there's no promise of that in 2012, is there? Maybe a year of uncertain parting. And I've never met anyone who thought, well, I'll be gone. I'll die. I'm going to die soon. I met a few people that wanted to die, said, I wish God would just take me. But listen, this may be the year that God calls some of us home. And by the way, I put myself in there. I'm not guaranteed any more minutes than you are. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Number 11. And I think most frightful of all, 2012, that it would be a year of unchanged people. Unchanged people. There's a song I enjoy listening to. West Coast Baptist College sent me a CD earlier. It's called God's Word Changes Lives. God's Word changes life. Its power cannot be denied. The foolish or the lost find salvation. The foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. I believe that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe the Word of God can change your life and mine. No matter how inept and how unworthy your pastor feels that he is, God's Word can change your life. This book can change your life. And that's why it is my personal conviction that every message should be saturated with Scripture. My personal conviction. Listen, I know preachers. I've heard preachers. And by the way, I'm like Dr. Malone. I like every kind of preaching there is. But I heard preachers that read their text and then never have another Scripture in their entire message. They go on a journey over land and sea and never come back to where they started. Not another Scripture in the whole message. Listen, I'm not for that. Because you know what? It's not my stories. It's not my illustrations. It's not my life experiences that change your life. It's the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God can change. And by the way, there are some Christian colleges that go as far as to say that expository preaching is the only kind of preaching. And I promise you, Jesus preached on topics, amen? He did. He preached, He said, look at that fig tree. Go over here and let me show you this. Let me illustrate this story to you. Ye that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. I'm for going down the Scriptures. I'm for preaching on topics. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's my personal conviction, be it expository or topical preacher, that there be a lot of Scripture in the messages. Can I say this? In December of 2011, there were, not including Sunday school, and let me just say something about that. Your Sunday school teacher spends the week baking fresh bread from heaven for you. You ought to be there to hear it. Would you get offended if you cooked a meal, invited somebody over, and they didn't show? Well, I probably wouldn't get offended. That's the wrong word. Would you be upset? Would it bother you? Hey, listen, I think of Brother Horsch and Brother Becker and Brother Sammons and Brother Dave Jenkins and all of our Sunday school teachers that teach the children. Hey, listen, they work all week long to prepare that meal for you. Ought to be here. Amen. I'm not getting mad. I'm just saying. Ought to be here to hear that, to eat that meal. But listen, there were, my count is correct, in December, there were 11 services that we had the privilege of gathering together, not counting Sunday school. 11 services. Two of those services were preached by Brother Heath and Brother Donald Savine. So I had the privilege of preaching 9 of those services, be they Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night. And I did a quick count of all my, went over all my notes. And Brother Horsch, I found that in those nine messages, I gave out 591 scriptures in 9 messages. So I did a quick math, and I divided 591 by 9, and I came up with 65 scriptures per message in December. And again, it's not because of me, it's because God's Word changes lives. 65 scriptures times about 170 messages a year, roughly, if you take missions conferences and revival meetings and extra services that we have, is 11,000 plus scriptures that were given from this pulpit last year. You say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Here's the question. Are you any different than you were last year? See, one of the great fears that I have as a pastor is unchanged people. And the Bible says this, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You know who that starts with first and foremost? Me. Not only did I preach 11,000 scriptures last year, but I studied and read. And you know what that means? God expects more out of me. Amen. Can I say this? You got 11,000 scriptures last year. Did it change you? Oh, that 2012 would be a year that, hey, you know what? We got some change in our lives because of the scriptures. You know what? I changed my bitterness in 2012 because of the scriptures. Hey, I changed my gossip. I changed my worry. I changed my sins of the flesh. I changed from not witnessing to witnessing. I changed from not tithing to tithing. Why? Because of the Word of God. Lastly. Oh, and this is the best part. And I don't have time to really let this go like I'd like to. But 2012 might be a year of not only when you think about all these other things, but it might be the year of an unlocked prison. And I'm not talking about Parnell or Channer Road or Cooper Street or any place that's tough. I'm talking about this may be the year that God raptures His church. I'll tell you what, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour. Hey, listen, I don't care what Harold Camping says. I don't care that it was supposed to be May 21st. You know, there's been Jehovah's Witnesses throughout the ages that said this day and this day and this day and this day. And there was Edgar Wisnett, the clown in 1988, who said 88 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 88. And he put a book out next year, 89 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 89. He put out another book, 90 reasons why the Lord's coming. And if you bought the book in 91, you're foolish. Amen. But oh, this could be the year that we drop these robes of flesh and we rise. This could be the year that the Lord Himself, hey, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hey, that mama that's been in the grave all those years, she's coming out, and it may be this year. Amen. Some of you, I think of Brother Hauser, Brother Curry, just lost your moms. Hey, it could be this year you're reunited in 2012. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on the incorruptible, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory." Could be this year, folks. Could be this year that death is swallowed up in victory. Hey, you know what? Let's live like we really believe it. You know, if we live every day like we're expecting to be raptured, you know what will happen? We'll live right. We'll put away sin. We'll be in the witnessing business, which is God's business. Amen. Oh, hey, listen. I'm looking forward to a new adventure this year. How about you? A new adventure in 2012. May it be a year of unbridled possibilities. May it be a year of unbelievable privileges, unseen praises, unceasing prayer, uncommon power, unbendable parents, unbreakable promises, unbounded production. Watch out for the unexpected pitfalls. And there may be that uncertain parting. Oh, that we wouldn't have any unchanged people. And that, oh, it may be the year of the unlocked prison. 2012, a new adventure. Father, we love You.